Hi, I'm Priya Bora. We are thrilled to bring to you some of India's unsung health, safety and environment heroes and speakers in the first season of Cool Blue Planet podcasts. If you have an idea you would like to share on this program, tell us about it. Write to us on priya@coolblueplanet.biz. And now, here is our new episode, The Magical Transformation of Waste to Energy. This is a story, a true story, of a farmer's son who set out to change the world of energy through biogas. Mr. Kumar, a mechanical engineer by profession, worked in the corporate arena for 16 years before succumbing to his passion to work on sustainable solutions for a better planet. Interested? Listen on.
So, hi.
Hi. Thanks for giving me an opportunity, Priya.
No, I'm really thrilled, yeah, because I think it's important to have these conversations, especially because you are in the field of waste management and that too, wet waste.
Yeah, that's right.
So tell me something about your journey into this.
Well, I'm a farmer's son. Most of us, we are third generation people. We are all sons and daughters of a farmer, isn't it? Because agriculture was the mainstay for India just a few 60-70 years back. So you always have it in you. Although I went out of my village, I was born, brought up in Bangalore in an urban setup, and then of course on a campus interview I went to Canada for many years. But always something is inside you and something has to trigger that, basically. So when I was in those, when I was with Caterpillar, where I was involved in polluting the environment, selling diesel generators and earth moving equipment and all that. But then Caterpillar wanted to do something on biofuels. So they wanted some people who would volunteer to study on biofuels and things like that. And then Caterpillar also invested in us on some trainings and some seminars. Okay. I went to Germany because of CAT to study some things about renewable energy. And then it struck to me that biogas was so much advanced in Germany. I went to a few villages where the villages were powered by biogas. And I met one gentleman there, the mayor of the village had come to see us. He was trying to explain to us. He quoted something. He said, "Mr. Kumar, where are you from? I think you are from India." "You people, I don't know how to comment. Yoga and biogas are from India. Yoga has been perfected probably by many of us, including Americans. And we are perfecting on biogas. We have gone a little bit advanced." To be honest with you, it dawned on me that I didn't know this, that biogas, one of the first plants was made in India. And then I googled and did some research, and it is true that biogas is one of the avishkars of India. So that was quite a surprise to me. And then he told me that, see, biogas takes care of 2-3 things at one shot. It takes care of waste management, organic waste, which is the most difficult waste to manage. After 4-5 hours of keeping organic waste outside, it starts smelling, and then it also produces something called a leachate, a poisonous liquid which gets into your water table, already depleting water tables. So all these things are taken care of by biogas, and then it also produces energy. In Germany, I could see CHPs, combined heat and power plants. They were not only converting it into power, they also used to use the heat of the generator to heat up pipes, because it's a cold country, so they had underground pipes to heat water and things like that, even floor heating. So he said, among all the renewables, see, I have biogas, I have solar, I have wind, everything in this city. He had a beautiful, sort of a panel, human-machine interface panel, where you could see what energy is coming at what time. He showed me one thing. See, if you see constant energy, he had graphics. Constant energy is coming from one source, and that's biogas. If there is some wind, you can see the wind graphics going up and down. You can also see solar going up and down, but constant is coming from biogas. So we have all the three, and we are a fully positive power positive village, one of the few power positive villages in the world, he was saying. So all these things were triggering something in me, and I said I had to come back to India for various other reasons. We had an old school in India which need to be taken care in Bangalore, 1 acre campus with CBSE and all that, which was there. Nobody was there, parents had passed away and all that. So my father-in-law was calling us from the day one we got married, you know? So I thought I should come back, now is the time. But what will I do coming back to India? Well, people suggested all kinds of things. I had some friends who said, why don't you open a vegetarian pub?
Okay. Wow.
In fact, I had gone almost applied for the license, because India has so many pubs, but not for vegetarians and Jains and all that. Bangalore has, you know, a huge amount of pubs. So it almost put my money into that.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. About 1.5 crores.
I can't imagine.
1.5 crores was the budget.
You're sitting in a vegetarian.
Absolutely.
Okay, maybe all the waste would have gone into a biogas converter. But
I don't know. But so then I looked into the scenario, and then I said, let me get into what I had seen in Germany and other countries. So I started getting into organic waste converters and biogas systems. Organic waste converters, basically because many of these companies in India have made huge establishments. They don't have a small, even small place for the waste management. So what do you do? Either you send it to a landfill or the so-called piggeries, which is a huge scam. I don't know whether you are aware that they said they take it to piggeries. And how many pigs are there in India? But they are doing unfermented liquor with this.
Is it?
Absolutely. This is shocking, you can quote me, and it's a known fact with the municipalities.
But they have a piggery farm.
Yeah, but how many pigs are being fed?
Right.
How many pigs? The ratio. Right. Everyone says my waste is going out to piggery.
Oh, so the waste is actually can it be used for what?
Some kind of fermentate, you know, uncontrolled fermentation of liquor.
Oh.
And that is all given into, you know, the panchayat elections. So many things it's happening. And it is a known fact, but nobody speaks about it. And then there are cities who have signed process contracts, but actually do transport contract.
Okay.
Bangalore, for example, has huge amount of process contracts. The Supreme Court also has mandated that any waste cannot be put in a landfill, because landfill doesn't exist anymore. So you have to process it. So you have to take it to your place and process it into biogas or RDF or whatever you can do, but they're all transport contracts. They dump into any open place, and they also create landfills.
But I didn't get this. Landfill is not there anymore, is it?
See, landfill is not the last choice of waste management is landfill, where some inerts have to go, a construction debris has to go, that can go to the landfill, but not anything else. Especially organic waste cannot go to a landfill. Even if you made a scientific landfill, you should not take organic waste. Organic waste needs to be reprocessed and given back to nature. It's part of the cycle of the nature that anything, even a banana leaf, falls on the ground and it has to get into the ground.
So interestingly, I want to ask you this.
Yeah.
Okay, you were talking about potential in India, right, for biogas. How many restaurants or how many big five stars have actually ordered for these?
So when I started this business, I want to come back there. I said I will get into this, and everybody used to say, Kumar, that's a great business you are in. You are a green leader. You are a green champion. I used to meet. I have even met Oberoi, the owners, all kinds of hotels, all kinds of big shots I met. Everyone used to, oh, you have come back from there. Even some people used to started saying, oh, wow, it's a heroic thing what you have done and things like that. But they used to hear from this year, leave it to this year. Then I saw that there were some, while I was going through some papers, there is a regulation. See, India has got a lot of regulations never enforced. India has got one of the best regulations even for roads, even for parking, even a commercial complex where you should have basements for parking, all that is, but it's not being enforced. So there I chanced upon a regulation which stated that any bulk waste generator for any city, 40 to 50% are bulk waste generators. Only the 50% is the small houses, small units, residential units, all those other places. Nowadays, the bulk waste generators are increasing because apartment complexes, villa complexes, hotels, tech parks are increasing. Chowdhuries and all, they are the bulk waste generators. Supreme Court simply says that anyone producing more than 50 kgs of waste have to process in situ.
Per day, is it?
Per day.
Okay.
It is basic. At least 50 kgs ke upar aap kar rahe ho. So that needs to be processed there. If it goes, all that is taken by municipality, the burden on municipality is higher. And most of the cities in India have grown in the last 15 years. No municipality can manage that also.
Right.
We have to be fair with the municipalities, administration, the kind of manpower they have. So all this put together, they have made a simple regulation which is happening all over the world now. This regulation is happening all over the world, which says bulk waste generators have to process in situ. So fine, the regulation started in Bangalore. Some of the NGOs started putting NGOs and activism. It was very much high in Bangalore and even in Pune for that matter. They started very well and they made the municipality to put this regulation. When the regulation came, what the regulation states, if you are not processing in situ, the bulk waste generator, you will not get your license renewed.
If you are not processing?
You will not get your license renewed.
Achha.
And if you are making a new apartment, you have to show the STP for the water part. You have to show an STP. You cannot simply leave your water sewage to the drain. You have to process through an STP and leave. So you have to have an STP. That regulation was there for the last 10 years.
But we are still using fresh water for flushing.
That is, so enforcement is not there.
The
enforcement body is Pollution Control Board.
Yeah, but the older apartments still don't do it. But is it that in the new apartments now biogas and STP are all integrated?
It is integrated. Now it has become mandatory. Biogas or in-situ processing. They don't specify any technology. They say in-situ processing. You can have a compost pit, you can have a converter, you can have a biogas plant, you can have all these things, but you cannot burn the organic waste. So this has to be there. So that regulation came. Once that regulation came, the new apartment, they made a smart move. They tied up with Pollution Control Board and said, if you have to go and inspect. The officer from Pollution Control Board has to inspect. If they don't have any of these things, like the STP and a converter or a biogas or any system, he cannot get OC, occupancy certificate.
Yeah.
So the builders, I had met scores of builders, the largest builders, Prestige, Embassy, I can name many. They all were hearing and they will say, when I'm doing a green building, maybe we'll look into that, all that. Now, once the regulation came, those same very builders have started calling us, when can we get the delivery?
Oh.
Everyone have to put, otherwise, especially in Bangalore and Pune for a certain extent, they have to put.
What's the penalty, do you have any idea?
They will not get occupancy certificate at all.
Oh, that itself is at jeopardy.
आपके अपार्टमेंट खत्म हो गया, सब होटल खत्म हो गया, आपको ओसी नहीं मिलता है तो यू कैनॉट स्टार्ट. बट नाउ यू नो फॉर ओल्डर अपार्टमेंट्स एंड ओल्डर होटल्स दैट रेगुलेशन इज बीइंग पास्ड ऑन टू एज वेल. दैट इज ऑल्सो वेरी इंपॉर्टेंट बिकॉज देर आर मेनी लाइक दैट. सो
इट्स द फर्स्ट, से फॉर एग्जांपल होटल इंडस्ट्री इन इंडिया, होटल चेन इन इंडिया दैट हैज पुट बायोगैस. बिकॉज होटल, आई एम थिंकिंग अगेन एंड अगेन, बिकॉज फूड इज द मेन, you know, product, food production, cuisines. So which big chain can we quote today?
See, I know Taj has made one or two installations.
That's it?
Taj Group.
In their entire...
See, the major issue for that is also the space. So all these people, that is where I had to start my other product, which is an organic waste converter, which does not make it into a manure as such. It makes it into a soil conditioner. But at least it is not allowing that to go to a landfill or a so-called piggery or anything else, any other scandalous thing. So many of these do not have space. But nowadays that every company has to think about segregating everything in their own space, and they should have a dry waste room, and they have to have a wet waste room. They have to have this. Only then they can actually, in fact, it's very useful. I don't know whether I've told you, and our return on investment on biogas plant is not more than 3.5 years, because commercial gas is very expensive. all of these are commercial entities. They cannot be using subsidized gas, and I don't know when the subsidy will be going away, even for domestic users. So commercial gas is never going to be cheaper. So what you have is CNG. Not everywhere GAIL gas has come.
Correct.
And when we do will come, GAIL will come everywhere, we don't know. Even if that is the case, the manufacturing per kg will not work out more than 15 to 16 rupees if it is biogas. It is common sense that biogas can be the part which brings energy security to India.
Yeah.
Even in my WhatsApp thing, I've mentioned one small thing. We should add another 11th fundamental duty to every citizen. Mm-hmm. Segregate.
Yeah, absolutely.
Itna hi karo na aapko country ko par pyar hai, to itna kaam karo, segregate karo.
Actually, it's interesting you say that because in every household, no, this is the biggest challenge to explain to from the mother-in-law to the maid to the child that you cannot just go and put the waste in any bin. You have to have two bins and you ensure that the child understands, the mother-in-law understands or the papa understands or the mama understands. That is that challenge is also more, I think, also because of education. We don't have a curriculum on
discipline. Pura discipline bhi chahiye. Environment mein curriculum
nahi hai. Something on environment for schools.
No, but I got to that situation, that stage where I can say segregate and you are a patriot. Mm. Because that can bring down the gas and oil imports to India by just pure segregation.
Okay,
then there are situations like in Bangalore. Bangalore has got 198 municipal wards. For 50 wards, as when I'm speaking to you, 50 wards, they have made segregation as mandatory. Now, if you don't segregate, whether your mother-in-law likes it or sister-in-law likes it or not, if you don't segregate, the Paura Karmika will not lift the waste. She or he comes in the morning, they see that there should be two dustbins. By the way, organic waste is lifted every day in Bangalore, even in these 50 wards. Dry waste is taken only one day in a week. If that lady sees, the Paurakarmika sees that it is mixed, she will not lift. So you are left with an unsegregated waste on top of your head. One day you will somehow dispose in the night. Second day you will dispose. How many days will you dispose?
Oh my God.
This is a beautiful system. See, it's also very important that government regulation, unfortunately, fortunately, plays a major role in this. Now, whether we like it or not, 50 watts, they have to segregate. And that is going to be...
So, what has been the impact in these 50 watts?
Huge, huge. All these segregated waste now actually is being processed in compost pits or biogas plants. They'll be adding more biogas plants in Bangalore. So, this is very important. Earlier, what used to happen, there are situations when we used to segregate and they used to mix it.
Yeah.
Because their trucks were not having that simple separators.
Correct.
Now they come with separators, it is segregated and it goes to the processing. This is very important.
So have we seen, has that community of 50 wards, what has changed in that community?
Definitely things are, they started about 6 months back. So obviously the segregated waste is going to a processing unit.
Yeah.
It's not going to any landfill or anything. Their major issue was segregation, but that is being solved. So definitely those wards will have, at least we know that it will not go to a landfill because they will not collect and put to a landfill. Even landfill or all these people who take it as, transport contract, they hate organic waste. They want it to be processed.
Right?
It stinks.
So no, my question was more to do with also on the health part. So if these people are having 50 wards, are having clean segregation, proper disposal, that means that they are also not harboring
definitely
bad bacteria.
Absolutely.
There's less garbage around.
Oh yeah, there's less wet garbage around, which is a major culprit.
Correct.
So obviously there is no the mosquitoes or machar or whatever is swarming around.
Yes,
that.
Yes.
Definitely you see cleaner wards.
Yes, and I think that's what the government actually should highlight.
Yeah.
That it's not about just segregating. It's not about putting it in the right recycling process or channel. It's also going to give you back huge benefits.
It is a huge benefit.
Because if you have say 50 wards in Bombay, let me take Bombay for example. If I say 50 wards in Bombay identified for doing this.
Correct.
And doing it well.
Correct.
Okay. and we monitor the health of these 50 wards.
Yes.
Okay, suppose, yes, for example.
Absolutely.
And if none of them
report
any dengue cases or malaria cases.
Health is one of the biggest beneficiaries.
Won't they be happy? It's a win-win, isn't it?
It is, in fact, they'll be spending less on healthcare.
Correct.
Which normally all those people go to the government.
And some of the diseases are not something that you are causing. It is coming from external factors.
It is always coming from external factors.
Most of the time it is the
waste.
Mosquito waste.
It is the organic waste. Correct. And the water pollution.
I think by just talking environment, people are not catching the impact. Person will only do if something is impacting him directly.
Correct.
He will not take it up otherwise. Okay. Any social message you want to spread, no? Nobody is covered.
Correct. Nobody.
What they will bother about is, okay, tomorrow if my family is going to have a healthy life, I will do it.
Absolutely.
Isn't it? So that kind of messaging, I think.
No, that kind of messaging has to go back to the society.
It should, no?
Your health is taken care. Nothing is the global warming, which is also earlier global warming movement, or somewhere Antarctica melting. Today, you are getting rain lashing at you at no, like cats and dogs, at no reason. This is global warming, right? I mean, you are caught. You are affected. It's not somewhere water Antarctica. You are being affected in Mumbai or Bangalore, in Chennai. I mean, immediate flooding, all this is happening. It's all because of global warming. So all these factors matter to each one of us. Unfortunately, we always have somebody to enforce it. Mm-hmm. It has to come from within, but it's not happening. So enforcement has to happen.
And when you went to New Zealand for the biogas conference, tell us a little bit about what case studies or what interesting things you...
See, not a single thing is wasted in countries like New Zealand.
Okay.
They actually they use the dairy waste, the cow dung, everything into a biogas system.
Okay.
Even the you know what do you call where the cow is cut and all that. What do they call
abattoirs.
It? The abattoirs. The abattoirs also have biogas systems in place, and that system, even blood. Even blood is an excellent digestate for the biogas.
Yes.
The blood alone is an excellent digestate.
Mm-hmm.
All this is processed in those biogas digesters, and the heating, the cooling, the power is given back. They calculate in terms of ROI. Where are we? What are we doing? We are not even up there. I mean, we have to start looking at that. See, basically, where I'm unfortunately here, the bureaucrats and the politicians probably are looking what is their business case. In decentralized waste management, there's no business case for huge projects and huge orders and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's decentralized. First of all, centralization is wrong. In decentralized, it's a few lakhs, a few crores. So if politician or a bureaucrat wants to see a huge business case there, he's disappointed. So he is not taking interest. So it has to come from the bureaucrat, from the babus, that how these things have to, policies have to be made. But they are not interested because they want huge coal plants or nuclear power plants or something else.
They want huge investment.
Yeah, whereas the energy security of India can be managed. We need not import an ounce of gas because so much of waste is there. Sweden and Norway imports waste, organic waste they are importing.
Yes.
So if these are all live cases in front of us, New Zealand, Australia, how their waste is being, in fact, New Zealand is much better managed than Australia because the regulations are very tighter and there are so many abattoirs and so many dairies, totally zero waste. What zero waste also means to them is not putting huge amount of energy making zero waste. When the amount of energy you are putting to make zero waste is less than the way energy which we are putting, then only it's zero waste.
Yep.
So the net energy is always plus in their part.
Okay.
So that's how those people are making, and we have to take the cue, and we have so much organic waste, we have to manage this.
So what do they do with all the biogas in New Zealand? You're saying it's used for heating and it's used
for heating and power.
Power.
Heating and power. You asked me that question about hotels, and unfortunately somehow hotels have not taken this cue because many of them don't have enough space. But people who have space really should start putting. I know there are a lot of Rajasthan, Rajasthani hotels, which are one of the world-class hotels where kings lived there. They were palaces converted. They have huge amounts of space. They have to start getting into all this. All my friends, many of my friends who are in Canada, they would rather visit Thailand or even Sri Lanka. although they know that the best hotels in the world are in Jaipur and Udaipur, where the kings lived, and now they are converted palaces. They have heard about it. They asked me. But then they are worried about the waste and the epidemics.
Health
part.
Yeah.
So all these things, even tourism will develop.
Correct.
So this is going to help everyone, every stakeholder is going to be helped in this.
I want to share something interesting also. Like, I've been part of zero waste campaigns in Capgemini, but it was interesting for me to see that today big festivals, music festivals like NH17, which happened in Pune, they also went zero waste during their 3-day festival, music festival.
Okay.
And the beauty of it was that when people were exiting after the music festivals finished, there was not a tissue paper on the ground to pick up. There was not a paper cup on the ground to pick up.
Excellent.
There was, it would probably, you could start another event immediately after this.
Wonderful. Which is,
and the way they drove it is that every, I think the food waste of course was getting segregated of course well, but the main part was that everybody got a memento of a mug, a ceramic mug,
okay,
which they had to keep with themselves throughout the festival.
Oh, they did?
Yeah. So you can clip it on your backpack.
Okay.
And you go around wherever you want to drink water, you use the mug only to drink.
Oh.
If you want something else, a juice or something, you use that again.
Wonderful.
If you want to get a beer, you pick up.
So there was no plastic bottle.
So there is no way you can get, that's handed to you along with your ticket.
Where was this?
And this was in Pune.
And what was it called?
NH17.
Excellent.
It's a music festival. You have Indian Ocean. You have big bands playing. International bands come. But that was the first thing
I noticed. Every person with the ticket got a
mug.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then I noticed a similar concept was implemented in Tri-Goa. When I did my Goa triathlon.
Okay.
I saw that Army and Navy had a very tough time picking up paper, plastic.
Correct.
And tissue waste after the event.
Correct.
And these events happen on roads.
Oh.
These are 15 kilometers, 40 kilometer runs.
Okay.
You're doing in the Goa National Highway.
Okay.
So everyone has to face the backlash after the event, right?
Okay.
So they realized that, and this event, what they did in Goa, they announced in the rules that anybody who is found taking water PET bottles and drinking while cycling but chucking it outside on the roads, 15 minutes time will be taken out of their
okay.
So it is better you get out of your cycle,
right,
go to the dustbin,
absolutely,
spend that 2 minutes to walk there and put it, get onto your bike, rather than putting the waste outside.
Or have a reusable flask with you or something.
So, because the implementation was done so beautifully.
Absolutely.
Even Goa event, after the event got over, there was not a single plastic or paper floating on the roads.
Wonderful.
And this army thanked the participants after the event, saying that very good.
Wonderful.
So, I think, you know, Kumar...
So, these are the things, yeah. Like I was telling you about the conferences. I don't know
I
the name
of
that association,
the,
but many conferences. We are left with so many water bottles. So, one or two cases, people like me have said, why do we need these water bottles? Well, let us have something else. So, they have started looking into that. So, similar to this. See, like you said, there was a stick given to those runners.
Yeah.
So, there is something called carrot and stick policy. Even the government can do, or even the corporates can do.
Correct.
The carrot is, you did something good. You did a green good deed. You get a raise, or you will be called a green champion. Or, on the municipality level, you get your property tax 5% discount.
Awesome.
We are actually, as IGBC, we are some of the people as Indian Green Building Council, I'm a core committee member. We've been speaking to the revenue minister in Karnataka saying that, why don't you get us property discount for those apartments or hotels who are doing process in situ. Give us that carrot.
Mm-hmm.
The stick is, if you don't do it, don't lift the unsegregated waste. So this can be done even in corporates, even in Capgemini. If you see somebody doing a green good deed, you give them something. You give them a pen or a book or give them something or which you recognize them. You recognize them a monthly green champions or yearly green champions. Recognize them on June 5th on the Environment Day or something. So if you do that carrot and stick, even in fact while doing your appraisals, the green good deeds should be a major part of it. For every employee, the appraisals should also have what has that employee contributed to the green good deed. So that should become, That, see, because all of us, at the end of the day, if we don't conserve water, if we don't take care of the environment, we have got no planet to leave. So this should be a major part of the appraisal than this any performance.
Is something like this being done in the world somewhere, in the corporates, or have you noticed these kind of stories in your conferences?
I'm not really sure. I'm sure there are many corporates might be doing it. If you are starting
I haven't seen
that. If you are starting it, why don't you be the pioneer?
Yeah, it's a good idea.
If you are going to be the pioneer, and it is just a thought while on discussion. You know, the discussions make these kind of openings, the mental opening. Where I just came to my appraisal, carrot and stick policy works everywhere in this world.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. I had some other interesting questions for you as well. So, you said your trigger was something to come into this area of biogas. How do you see the future? Where do you see heading in the future with biogas, and what do you see are the challenges or some of the key things that you think as a policy it needs to change, or as a curriculum you want to bring about? Because now you're dealing with people who are on the net all the time. You're dealing with children who are going to now become the next generation of people, and we need to understand how you're going to make this, all these topics, relevant, and also, like I said, something that means something to them. So what do you see, what are your plans, or what are your plans?
I think you had 2-3 questions in that. One is the future of waste management and renewable energy.
For biogas specifically,
other things. See, the waste management and the biogas can go hand in hand, because the organic fraction of that waste can be handled by biogas. There are people who are doing incineration for that. There are so many incinerators set up in Delhi, which is totally wrong. You have to incinerate only the hazardous waste. You may create energy from incineration, fine. But why should you burn organic waste to create energy? You are putting more energy, and you are putting a lot of, you are giving greenhouse gases, CO2 coming into the atmosphere, which is wrong. You have to come back to the basics, get into biomethanation. So it has got a huge potential. Even developed countries like USA had waste to energy through incineration. They are stopping. The developed countries are stopping. Unfortunately, those companies are coming and putting their tents here. So that has to stop. And America is also getting into biomethanation. Australia, New Zealand, most of the developed countries. Europe, Germany is the leader. You know, why do they get into all this? They have forethoughts. They have vision. So there's a huge potential for biomethanation.
Do we have made in India biogas plants?
Yeah, there are several biogas plants made in India. Now, there are several companies who have put in biogas plants. One of the examples I can give you is Muniseva Ashram. I would invite you to Muniseva Ashram, where you will see a net zero.
This is
in Gujarat. In fact, accommodation and all that will be taken care of. They are doing a fantastic. If you are coming for a study, we will ensure that you are, it's a beautiful campus. There are many people who are NGOs and even ashrams, and many companies also have done biogas, no doubts about it. So there are many biogas plants in India. There are many plants which are producing 4 to 5 megawatts of power in Punjab, in Jalandhar. Yeah, there are so many of those which has already happened. But then government regulation has to help us. Government subsidies have to help us. Why do you give subsidy to LPG when it's an import content? Give more, better subsidy. Make it business sense for biogas. When it makes business sense, entrepreneurs will get into biogas, and India will be full of biogas plants. That is my simple and humble advice to any government policymaker. That's very important. In fact, I am sorry to say that Ujala is the wrong scheme. Giving, and it has failed. Ujala, they started giving LPG to the nook and corners of villages. That's fine. But then the villages are so poor, they cannot even buy the second cylinder. The first cylinder, with that, everything comes free. They can't buy the second cylinder, and they were sold to scrap dealers. It has happened. I have seen those happening. And instead of Ujala, they should have encouraged biogas, because there is so much of vegetation waste and cow dung sitting in every village. And I will show you some videos where out of cow dung, Gobar Bank has been done, and Gobar Bank is a simple concept where all the cow dung is held at one place in the village, and then the gobar is set, the biogas plant is set, and to 150 families, it's a free gas flow.
Oh yeah, you're talking about this.
There are so many of such things. It's happening. I can send you the video, success stories. Why this is not repeating is because of lack of policy makers not showing any interest. These are very simple things which can be helped. Coming back to children, catch them, and definitely I know one organization called Indian Green Building Council, where they have started making green schools. Where green, in a green school, you get a, you are a school, you can get yourself green certified. By having a syllabus given by IGBC, Indian Green Building Council, you can take it, and there you focus on waste, water, and energy efficiency.
In addition to mainstream,
you have to, first of all, your school should be having proper water conservation, proper waste management, and proper energy conservation. So the children will see, are what in school this segregation is happening, and in my home it's not happening. All this, these things will be looked into. A solar panel on the school roof also, it makes the child think about it. Energy efficient bulbs, energy efficient lights, nowadays even they have ACs, energy efficient motors, they can all be shown to the children so that they are the future citizens, they are the future IAS officers, future bureaucrats, and future politicians. So things like green schools are happening, but more and more schools have to get into that gambit, you know. And so these are the things.
Seen much promotion?
Not much. See, most of these you know, institutions do not have funding to promote. You need advertisements and you need sponsorships. So we are all volunteers. Within my busy schedule, all of us come and meet one day, and mm-hmm. we look at certain things, we make certifications, all these things. The money for the IGBC has to come from certifications.
Correct.
It has to come from you know, these kind of things. A lot of printed material gets into this. So these kind of things, we need assistance. We need CII too. Nowadays, CII has just partnered with IGBC, which is a great welcome move. Confederation of Indian Industries, they have funding. So these kind of things have to happen. It's slowly happening, but the pace is very slow.
Okay. So your concerns are around how fast we are moving as a country, and that countries like Germany, which are, you know, now having a vision, are actually selling that technology back to us.
Yes.
Whereas we kind of started with the concept of biogas.
Correct.
As a country.
In fact, as I speak to you, I mean, first of all, thank you for giving us an opportunity to put a biogas system. Do you know this biogas system, what I have put for you, is from Indian Biogas Association, where we have a MOU with German Biogas Association, and they have facilitated this technology. The patent which we have filed is, the ideas have come from them.
Okay.
To be honest.
But this is manufactured where?
This is manufactured in Bangalore in our works.
Achha.
But the technology is German.
Okay.
And thanks to government of Germany, they have partnered with Indian Biogas Association. They are putting their funds in getting their officers to India. We have our office in Gurgaon, where one of the Germans are sitting all the time helping us for the transfer of technology also. Without any fees. Okay, certain consultancy fees will be there to sell certain technologies.
So the design is theirs.
The design is theirs. See, so for example, one of the good features in this biogas system what we have placed in Cap Gemini Hinjewadi is, although India is a tropical country, the temperature is never the same.
Correct.
The most ideal temperature for biogas is 38 to 40 degrees Celsius. That we have achieved by simply putting a small heater and a thermostat. If it checks, if the temperature is 38 to 40, it doesn't do anything. If it is 33, it heats up 5 degrees.
If it's very
It's a
hot.
Very small heat it is giving.
If it's very hot?
It doesn't do anything.
Okay.
More than 40, you can't, you cannot cool it. Then it costs money. But whereas here, it's only heating 4 or 3 or 5 degrees Celsius. But it makes a huge difference for the yield. When you see the yield versus temperature graph, this is the best temperature for the yield.
Okay.
So all this is taken care. This is because of Germans' research, R&D. Although we have so many biogas systems, we have not put this small issue. We always say, "Arey, India tropical country hai." To kya? Aapke temperature to same nahi hai na? Delhi mein to it's extremes. Even in Pune or Bangalore, it is not the same. So these are learnings from Germany.
Mm-hmm. when you talk about biogas as a topic where it is being utilized today, mainly it's being used only for heating and secondly for cooking.
Cooking, heating, and you can use it for power also, for running a gas generator. For in your campus, you can have more waste, and then you can also have, if there is more waste coming, you can also run a gas generator instead of giving it to the kitchen. The only thing with that is where you are converting one energy into another energy. So there are some energy losses. Or any diesel or gas generators in this world produced by even the best diesel Cummins or Caterpillar generators, they are not more than 40% efficiency. So the loss of energy is big. But then when it comes to huge amounts of waste, what do? In municipal, this one, you run common area lighting. You are processing your waste and you run your common area lighting, you run your street lighting from that. And Germany does that, and also they use the heat produced in the generator for heating certain flooring or some kind of boilers and geysers. That's what they do. So they do this combined heat and power, CHP. And that has to happen in India as well.
So, Kumar, I want to thank you. And I think I've learned a lot because it's never been a journey where...
You've always been asking me the best prize.
Yeah, best
prize. You've always been haggling with the prize.
But see, even if you talk about the pricing, that's my cap as a lead. But if you talk about the topic and the content, I have learned a lot.
It is so profound,
it's something that a lot of us don't know. This is one thing I've realized. When I talk to my kids, I told them I'm going for a biogas testing. I did want them to hear the words. I wanted them to ask me, what is this? So when I told my son, where are you, mom? So I said, I just finished visit and I saw a lot of cow dung, which was, generating gas. So he says, yike. So I said, there is nothing yike about it. Cow dung is so important. So kids today in the metros, they're not understanding the
milk comes from the refrigerator.
The milk comes from the refrigerator or Sada or, a farm. But what is happening at the back end? How things are being actually recycled? Yeah. Those are topics which we have to make it current. The kids today are not at all aware of the realities of, the waste management area. So I would really thank you for educating me to educate my kids.
Thank you.
And I wish you all the best. And is there any last words you want to leave us with?
No, the education part and the environment side, as you said, most of us are uneducated. Although we are having degrees, we are not aware how this earth was formed, how we need to protect this Mother Earth, how we need to be in this planet, how we were playing when we were young and why we are not able to play with, what has happened to the pollution part of any city. It's not only industrial pollution and automobile pollution. There is so much of other pollution which is caused by us as individuals.
Yeah.
So what is our role and responsibility? What are our fundamental duties? So those things we need to start thinking about it, and we need to do simple things like source segregation.
Correct. I agree. And on that note, thank you again.
Thank you. Thank you very much.